Lord, where could I run from your presence, and where could I get away from your spirit? That was a prayer that King David prayed, and I imagine Jacob could have prayed that when he thought of the experience the Lord gave him here in Genesis chapter 28. And God blessed him and gave him some directions there about how to have a healthy home life and how important it is to consecrate that part of our lives to the Lord. The Lord is in that place also, and we shouldn't try to get away from the Lord when we come together with God's family or certainly our own family. But the Bible says Jacob reached a certain place. Now, you'll go to certain places this week. And it seems on purpose the Lord said it was a certain place. It wasn't a place that would normally be a place of worship. And it wouldn't be a place where people would kneel down and pray necessarily. It was just a certain place. Any place. And there was Jacob and there was God. And any place is a place of worship if you know that God is there. That's a truth that can grow our hearts in fellowship with Christ. Any place is a holy place when you know that God is there. Heaven is God's throne. Earth is God's footstool. That's what the Bible says. And it reminds me of when Jesus rose from the dead, two men were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared with them. So he was there when they walked. And then the day he rose from the dead, his disciples were in the room, upper room, and the Bible says Jesus stood among them. So the certain places that you will go to this week, God promises he'll be there. And so Jacob, when he got to that certain place, what did he do? Did something very spiritual. He slept. Okay? He slept. And even when Jacob slept, God was there. Jacob wasn't doing anything. He wasn't praying. He didn't have any scripture available to him. He slept. He rested. And Jacob wasn't even conscious of God. But God was conscious of Jacob. Jacob wasn't thinking about the Lord. The Lord was thinking about him. And often when our minds are not on God, still the fact that he thinks about us is a great comfort. And so Jacob slept, and the Bible says when he slept, there was a stairway there. Or we know sometimes from when we were children, there was a ladder. We call Jacob's ladder. There was a ladder there, a stairwell there. And there the Lord stood in Jacob's dream. And God says to Jacob, I will be with you to watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you. Now, what if the Lord says that to our soul this morning? I'll be with you wherever you go to watch over you, and I will not leave you. I certainly would want that for our children of the church, and would want that for our own soul. God promises us that. And then Jacob wakes up, and he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. This is the house of God. Remember, he's in a certain place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And this is an awesome place, he says. Charles Spurgeon, when he was writing on this passage, said, Jacob's ladder is any place that God comes down to meet us. God comes down that ladder to meet us. In our own strength, we can't climb the ladder. Jesus, when he quoted from this passage, said, angels were ascending and descending. So God comes down the ladder, Jacob's ladder, any place where God reaches out to meet us. And in this case, it was when Jacob was sleeping. God said, I'm going to use that to meet you. And dreaming. Spurgeon said, when it comes for our time to die, that'll be Jacob's ladder for us. God will come down to meet us. And through Christ take us to be with himself. So it's a place of God's intervention. It's a place of God's comfort. At any moment in time, and in any certain place, in the shortness of a breath, in the blink of an eye. Surely, the Lord is in this place. The Lord stands there. And you and I could say, this is an awesome place. This is the gate of heaven. Jesus, the gate for the sheep, is available to us wherever we go. He promises fellowship with us. George MacDonald was a Christian writer. And once a man came up to him and said, George, wouldn't it be a great day for the Lord to come back? And George said, yes, it would. And how our hearts pray for that. Just like the book of Revelation prays, come soon, Lord Jesus. But MacDonald said to his Christian friend, brother, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be a great day for the Lord to walk beside us? Wouldn't it be a great day for the Lord to walk beside us? Because he does. Surely the Lord is in this place, and we can know it. MacDonald said, from our childhood to the time of our death, we have one calling in life, and it is by the grace of God, to grow eyes so that we might see God among us. From the time we're a child to the time we die, we have one calling in life, to grow eyes by the grace of God, to see God through Christ among us. To say, the Lord is with us, Emmanuel. A reporter once asked a Christian statesman, what would Jesus say if he were standing right next to you? And the Christian was trying to make a point, and he said, well, he is. He is standing next to us all the time. I will be with you to watch over you, and I will never leave you. Surely the Lord is in this place. And that's a Bible verse that makes any part of creation a chance to meet God at any moment. That part of life, that experience, that moment, according to God's word, is filled with God himself, is filled with his glory. And that's the way God is. And we're glad he's like that, that we can meet him wherever we go. You could think of the times in your life and ask yourself the question, when is it hardest for you to see Jacob's ladder? Or where is it hardest for you to know that's a house of God? For some, sadly, it would be in the home. If home was a place of conflict and pain and maybe just hustle and bustle, a place to do things that have very little, unfortunately, to do with the Lord. Sometimes that's a place where you would say, that's the hardest place for me to say, God is in this place. For some, it would be work. Work is something to get through so you can get the things in life you really enjoy doing. Okay, that's a common experience because of the fall of man. For some, it sometimes even is that in church. So often we might feel closer to the Lord by ourselves than when we gather with other Christians. When that occurs, that shows something in our heart perhaps is not at peace with God or with other people. God would say, surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. For myself, sometimes the hardest place to know God is in the place is when I'm alone. Especially if I'm alone in a crowd. I see the crowd hustling and bustling, maybe doing things together, and I'm there, and I think, I don't feel too close to God at that point. When I get around people who know Christ, I often feel closer to God, more able to say, the Lord is in this place. And God can change our heart and change the activity of our soul when we realize, well, wherever we are, any certain place, he's there in that place. We wake up to who he is. When one of my children was little, they were afraid of the dark just for about 3 months. I think when they were about 4 years old, all of a sudden, afraid of the dark. So Castle went in our room, wake us up two or three times, back to bed. And he said, I'm afraid of what's in the dark. I'm afraid of what's under the bed. There's nothing under the bed. I didn't try that. There's nothing in the dark except under the bed was a few old toys, fuzzy with dust balls. And the things here, take these, you know. But all those things, they, as the song says, they mocked his soul's sad cry. I'm still afraid, whether I have these toys or not. Adults would say that too. We have things, many things in our house. We're still afraid. So I said to my son, God is in the dark and God is under the bed. I was losing my patience at that point. And God is in the bed. And he's in that place. And after a while, God was able to make a breakthrough in my fearful child's heart, and he was able to rest again. God says to you, I will be with you. I will watch over you. I will never leave you. He said it to Jacob, who was a rascal and was going to be a rascal. He says it to you and I, who have sinned, who will trip up and sin. Lord, deliver us from intentionally, but because of our nature. And he carries us through. Someone said, even in our worst day, we have such an advantage because we know God is with us. Than somebody who's having their best day and they don't know God is with them. You have the advantage. Because you say, surely God is in this place. And I knew it not. Jacob's experience can change us in a couple of ways. I've just picked two. One, it can change our prayer life. Opportunity to talk to God all the time as our best friend. Prayer is such a help when we're hurting. It's such a joy when things are going well for us. And Jim Cimbala, who's a real strong pastor in New York City, said the number one sin that believers have, that Christians have, is prayerlessness or not talking to the Lord. That's an easy sin to fall into, because sin keeps us from prayer. So if we're going our own way, we won't talk to God. But prayer will keep us from sin. If we're talking to the Lord, that'll deliver us from our own rebellion. If God is always in the place, any place is a place of prayer. George MacDonald said, our life can be one grand desire, heavenward and Godward. He said, everything we do is kind of an offering to God, a prayer for Him, to Him rather, of praise or of help, of intervention, because He's there. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, every joy is a praise. Every look toward God is a request. Sometimes if we don't know what to say, we just say, look to God. Every look is a request. Every tear is a prayer. If you ever have a loved one come to you, they can't get the words out. They cry. A lot of communication happening there. Every tear is a prayer. Every sigh is the music of heaven. God says, I will help. Every grief is a diamond of heaven. How is a grief a diamond of heaven? Because God says, this is real important to me because of what's happening to my child. Every grief a diamond of heaven. And every Emmaus Road experience, the guys on Emmaus Road, when they didn't know Jesus was with them, he said, we are so disappointed with God. Even those times can be a time of prayer. God is in that place when you tell Him, Lord, I am so disappointed in You. God says, wait. Wait and see the Lord is good. He will come and help us. So God's presence changes our prayer life, and then God's presence changes our discipleship. Or our following of the Lord makes it more of a big picture experience. Brother Lawrence, in a famous way, said, I follow Jesus when I wash pots and pans, just like I follow Him in chapel. Actually, he felt closer to the Lord with the pots and pans than with the chapel. I hate washing dishes. I don't know how he did that. But that's what he said. I follow Jesus. Jesus is there. I feel His presence. That solves our problem of feeling like sometimes we're two different people. Come to church, I'm one person. When I'm out doing something else, I'm another person. That solves that problem. That God is in the place, both places, equally strong. That solves the problem of secular America. Secular America pretends God doesn't have anything to do with this activity, whatever it is. Education or economy or issues of life, issues of international conflict. But surely God is in America. And we knew it not. And we heard when we gathered with the pastors, just around the world, exciting things happening. Just through the Ministry of Christian Missionary Alliance, every 2 minutes somebody prays to receive Christ. Every day somebody is baptized. Many are baptized each day. And in America itself, each day 500 people pray to receive the Lord. Surely God is in America. God is in that place. There's no sin in America big enough to hide Jesus from you. There's no sin in your own soul big enough to hide Jesus from you. Surely God is in the place. He builds His church. He refines His people. He brings His good news to people. He judges the thoughts and intention of our heart all the time with His faithful word. So we can follow God and ask for His grace and mercy on us and on other people. I asked this question to some people in fellowship. I said, if Jesus were to rise from the dead today and walk through the streets of downtown Irwin, how many people would follow Him? And you know what the Bible answer to that question is? The same number of people who are following Him right now. Are you one of them? Because the Bible says Jesus has risen from the dead and He is walking the streets of downtown Irwin. Surely the presence of the Lord is in the place. And we can be glad for His love. We can rejoice in the Lord because the Lord is near. We could sing, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. This is the house of God. Jacob said, this is an awesome place. This is the gate of heaven. Might we know the good fellowship of the Lord as He calls us to pray and to walk with Him. Let's pray together. Lord, may our surrendered lives bear witness to the truth that You are with us, watching over us, promising never to leave us in any certain place that we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.